Right now on VFN TV, we're going to be talking about the Yazidi people and how the Islamic terrorists are wreaking havoc on them. As a matter of fact, remember Sinjar Mountain? That was the Yazidi people. We'll be talking about them. In addition, we're going to be talking about, we got to finish the job. Stephen Furtick is talking about something so powerful. As a church, we have to be able to remember that. And finally, we're going to be talking about, are these cheap gas prices ruining the oil industry, causing it to be broke in America with 7,000 plus jobs, people being laid off from their job in the oil industry, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
You know, we're at that moment in time. What are we going to do with it? Understand this. If God's on your side, you're on the majority side. No matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me. And when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate this city to you.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lancaster. Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. We're so encouraged that you have joined us for today's program. It's so important. When you think about this, you remember the news when you heard about Sinjar Mountain in northern Iraq, and there was people running from radical Islam, the ISIS crew, running them up this mountain that was called Sinjar Mountain. Those are Yazidi people. They were literally killing the parents, shooting men, beheading family members, selling off the women as brides. It was just horrific. Do you remember how silent America was and our leadership in America? We're wondering why didn't they go rescue the Yazidi people? And it was amazing the things that we didn't do for them. And we had a previous program talking about, 6 days in Iraq. Well, that was Sinjar Mountain. That's exactly where they were setting up with the Peshmerga, which is the military for the Kurdish people that were watching the supply lines for ISIS come by. That all was happening right around Sinjar Mountain, where the persecution and all this many deaths took place of the Yazidi people. While in the beginning, it looked like America remained silent for quite some time. Let's take a look.
During the past 2 years, the war against the Islamic State has taken a toll on the people of Iraq. According to the United Nations, nearly 19,000 Iraqis have been killed and 36,000 wounded from the start of 2014 through the end of October of last year. Many Christians have suffered because of ISIS, but the Yazidi people have perhaps suffered the worst. Gary Lane has more.
Few Iraqis have suffered worse treatment by the Islamic State than the Yazidis. Yazidis believe God gave control of the world to seven angels. They do not believe in hell. ISIS considers them devil worshippers. Christians are often spared from death because ISIS views them as people of the book, the Bible. While ISIS has killed some Iraqi Christians and has seized their possessions and homes, the Yazidis have suffered worse persecution. ISIS has murdered many of their men and has taken Yazidi women as sex slaves. Last year, CBN News brought you the story of the young Yazidi woman we called Shanar. In August 2014, ISIS jihadists captured her as she fled Sinjar Mountain. They put her with about 100 other Yazidi girls, including some as young as 10 years old.
We're forcing the girls to convert to Islam and then marry ISIS members. They beat our legs, heads, and arms, demanding all of us to serve them or be used as sex slaves.
Shanar says ISIS fighters came to the house and offered the girls money for sex. Many of them were sold for as little as $1.
They were really determined to harm us. They abused us and took pleasure in it. Most of us wanted to die.
Some of the girls attempted suicide to escape the abuse. An alarming number succeeded. ISIS forced thousands of Yazidis from their homes, and many of them ended up in refugee camps like this one in northern Iraq. Fala Hassan is one of them. ISIS captured him in Mosul, but he later escaped after witnessing the murder of a friend and other Yazidi men. Yazidi Jamil Chito lives alone in the camp. ISIS kidnapped his wife and four of his 11 children. Eventually, they were rescued and now live in Germany. Other family members weren't as fortunate.
They were surrounded by seven or eight cars full of Daesh. They arrested all of them. They took the girls and the woman. But then they blindfolded the rest of the family, including my brother's wife, cousin, and daughter-in-law. And they killed all of them right there.
Jamil hopes to see his surviving family members again after the city of Mosul is liberated by the Iraqi military and its allies. And now that the city of Ramadi has been retaken from ISIS, planning has started for a new major military offensive, this time against ISIS in Mosul. Gary Lane, CBN News.
It's so important to understand when such tragic things take place like this that we as Christians now, we should have empathy. We should be wanting to get involved to be able to help them out. Thank God for Samaritan Purse and Operation Blessing with CBN, but also Samaritan Purse with Franklin Graham, with the ministry taking place there through Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, that they got involved. But so often that, you know, we say we don't believe in isolation and that type of thing, but so many people live an isolated life. A lot of Christians live an isolated life. They don't even know. Do you know your neighbors? Think about this. So many Christians don't even know their neighbors. They don't even know the person who sits beside them once a week, every day when they come, every week when they go to service. We've got to begin to connect to other people. And if we can't connect to our neighbors, it's going to be really difficult for us to connect to these Yazidi people. And so often, if we have a closed-minded, isolationist mentality, you know, somebody would say, well, they're Yazidis. You know, they're not Christians. We shouldn't stand for them. God's called us to go to these cities, to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, to preach to them the gospel so that they would know Jesus. I mean, when you look at Romans, when Paul was writing to the church of Romans, he said, how are they going to know unless someone tells them? And how is someone going to tell them unless someone is sent? And so we're the answer, the Christians. We're supposed to go to the Yazidis and tell them about Jesus Christ. Of course, Franklin Graham was doing that. But the interesting thing, the isolationist mindset in America, we got to break that. That might be some sort of culture thing in America, but in regards to the church, we have to not be conformed to the culture of America that causes us to think isolationism. America's only like 5% of the entire world's population. We're called as Christians to reach all the nations for Christ. We could have, and we did, many Christian nations, Christian organizations went there and ministered to the Yazidi people. But that is tragic what took place there. And the answer, of course, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't thought about missions, you know, I was just speaking to Greg Lee, who's in Wales, I believe, ministering on behalf of the Lord and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you got to begin to think, you know, maybe I'm supposed to go to the Yazidi people. Maybe I'm supposed to go to northern Iraq. Maybe I'm supposed to get involved with Samaritan Purse or Operation Blessing. Or maybe your church needs to get together and begin to send missionaries because they're believing in seven angels, basically, that are, you know, the whole world was turned over to them. And it's just not the gospel. But there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and somebody can go there and minister and preach to them. We should be brokenhearted that these women were sold as for a dollar as sex slaves to these ISIS, you know, Islamic radical jihadists. And when you think about jihad, you know, there's so many different statements about jihad, but it's something that Islam, Muslims believe that they're doing on behalf of their God. Well, did you know that rape, when they actually, some of the reports are that women said, once they raped me, they said, now I'm a Muslim. Because they were convinced that once a Muslim man has sex with her, then she is a Muslim. And she believed it until some nuns told her, says, that's not true. Then you're looking at Germany with all the immigration taking place, and they had a real rapid increase in rape taking place of the women in Germany. But understanding jihad, understanding how they perceive that, the moment they're raping these women, based on the beliefs of that form of Sharia law, they're thinking they just made that woman a Muslim. We have to begin to, and how, what's the answer? The answer is you, if you're a Christian, to begin to become a disciple of Jesus Christ and begin to go out and teach people that is not true. You know, you can give your life to the Lord today, and it's just so important to understand that Jesus is the answer. Join us after the break, because we're going to talk about two things. One, finishing the work. You got to finish the job. It's so important right now in dealing with, you know, some basically things that are wrong inside the church. We got to begin to say, God, judgment begins in the house of God. Lord, begin to finish the work in me. And secondly, a prophetic word, a dream that was given in regards to the oil industry in America and these falling gas prices. Could it be the end of the oil business as we know it in America? Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're going to be talking about a report that was done by CBS on the oil industry. Mm. And the reason why this stands out is because the Lord spoke to, I'm not at liberty to say who it was, but somebody who is involved in the upper level of the oil industry in America. And God gave him a very specific, told him something very specifically about a crisis that was coming, and it was coming, and that basically you would think about the oil industry as we knew it was going to be a sinking ship.
And this was while the oil industry was
flourishing. Yeah, God's so merciful.
And who would imagine?
Right, God's merciful and lets us know. But first, let's join CBS in this particular segment talking about these, because everybody's going, I love these low oil prices. Yeah. This is great. And it's like, but in that, we're losing industry. 60%, I believe you're going to find out, of the 60 or 70% of all the oil drilling equipment now is parked and not even being used. The reason why Saudi Arabia is lowering these prices down because it's driving America out of the oil business.
That's the goal, yeah.
Venezuela is crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And
Russia
today is even talking about having to sell something. I don't know what it is, but it's a war, an economic war taking place thanks to Woodrow Wilson and tying our economies together. He said, we'll never go to war again if you tie the economies together.
Right.
And you're seeing a financial war. But listen to, this is the oil industry in America, and the reason why we're actually, you're even seeing this, because a prophecy that was given about the fulfillment of this thing taking place. Take a look.
I feel that it's great, you know, a lot less coming out of my pocket.
I love it.
Gas under $2 a gallon.
I'm thrilled.
Under $1.50. Last year, falling pump prices put an extra $115 billion in Americans' pockets. The price of oil has dipped below $30 a barrel. It's all good, right? One big boost to the economy.
What does this symbolize?
The crash.
Well, not so fast. In West Texas, $30 a barrel oil means a deepening economic disaster.
What is this?
It's a drilling contractor's yard.
Now, during the boom, what would this have looked like?
Empty. Completely empty.
To oil field consultant Mike Rasko, this parking lot for drilling rigs symbolizes the American oil and gas industry going broke. In just the last year, more than 900 rigs were idled. The U.S. total down 60%.
So each one of these rigs represents how many unemployed people?
I'd say 1,000 at least.
Each one?
Absolutely.
And how many do you think are sitting here?
We quit counting when they got into the 30s.
On the road between Midland and Odessa, it's all there to see. The collateral damage caused by low price oil. The auction lots for heavy equipment no longer needed. For the repossessed cars and trucks of the people who've lost their jobs. The pump jacks that aren't pumping.
A gallon of water is worth more than a gallon of crude oil right now.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. That's another drilling rig. That's north of town.
Until he was laid off last spring, Mike Rasko made $1,700, $1,800 a day overseeing projects for a major oil company. Worldwide, the oil and gas industry has cut more than 275,000 jobs since oil prices peaked at over $100 a barrel in mid-2014. Why? For starters, demand for oil fell. In the past, OPEC has cut production in response. Not this time.
Before the oil price collapsed, the assumption was that OPEC would underpin the oil price by cutting production. But the key oil producers in the Gulf, Saudi Arabia and the other Gulf states, said that we're not going to cut unless other people cut.
Daniel Juergen is vice chairman of IHS, an international information company, and the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of The Prize, A History of Oil.
Saudi Arabia's basic strategy is to maintain its market share in the global oil market, and that's really been the starting point for them.
At the expense of everybody else?
Yes.
So began a huge game of chicken, with Saudi Arabia and its OPEC partners pumping full blast, Russia too, and the United States. You've heard of fracking, pumping water into shale formations to free hard-to-get-at oil and gas? Well, fracking meant that the United States suddenly was producing a lot more oil. So much that for the first time in 40 years, we're exporting it.
U.S. oil production went from 5 million barrels a day in 2008 to 9.7 million barrels a day in April of 2015. In other words, U.S. oil production almost doubled in a matter of just a few years.
During the good years, Midland and Odessa, Texas turned into boom towns. Same story in Williston, North Dakota. Based on $100 a barrel oil, entrepreneurs borrowed billions of dollars to buy into the bonanza. Workers flocked to the oil patch.
I heard about all this big money, so I thought I could get a little piece of that pie, I suppose.
So many they had to live in trailer camps, on cots in church halls. Then the price crashed, thanks in large part to China's slowing economy. The Saudis and their Gulf state neighbors, with their deep pockets and low-cost oil production, kept pumping and settled in to wait for their competitors to flinch.
If prices continue to be low, we will be able to withstand it for a long, long time.
The chairman of Aramco, the Saudi state-owned oil company, earlier this month. Feeling the pain in addition to the United States, Russia and Venezuela. And the Saudis hope Iran, about to come back into the oil market in a big way after the lifting of sanctions.
The Gulf countries are convinced that Iran has a plot to encircle them And so this is really not just about oil that's going on, but it's really about the future of the Middle East.
Meanwhile, every day, the world is producing something like 1.5 million more barrels of oil than it needs. There's an ocean of it out there, in massive storage tanks. And right now, at least 100 million barrels are sitting in tankers parked at sea. This past week, the price of crude rose to nearly $36 a barrel on the merest possibility that the Russians and Saudis might talk about cutting production. But even if it happens, sopping up that surplus will take time, which oil field consultant Mike Rasko knows only too well.
We joke around here saying things are picking up. They're picking up the house. They're picking up the car, you know. It hits everybody just as hard, but maybe in different ways.
What's your situation?
They picked up the truck. What I do my business out of, my pickup, it's gone. My wife, through stress, has been hospitalized over all of this, you know.
Mike Rasko just wants to hang on to his home. He never lived lavishly, even when he could have, so he could weather the bad times. Born and raised in West Texas, this is the fourth bust he's lived through. He knows it will end. As he looks for work every day, he just wonders when.
How hard is it to keep your morale up?
It's over. I don't have any morale left. I'm out of pride. I've got a beautiful wife and two good babies to take care of. I do it because I want to be a good husband. I'll be a good old man when it comes back around.
So when you're hearing and people saying, hey, gas is going down, look at the families that are being destroyed. Each rig represented 1,000 people being laid off. But God spoke specifically and prophetically about this way while it was booming. But listen to what he said. He said that a gallon of water is worth more than a gallon of crude oil. Oil is the gold standard. We got off the gold standard way back when, but they shifted everything about 1973 with President Nixon, where cut this deal with OPEC, who's driving these prices down today, that somehow the economy was tied to oil. And now look, water is worth more than gold then. This has been prophesied about. This is what's been talked about. That's why you saw many people, this big demand for people wanting to drill wells just to have drinking water.
Well, look at Detroit right now.
Yes.
I mean, the water's contaminated.
It's contaminated. But you're looking at that when things shift, the economy shifts, and you no longer have, you know, a value of that thing used to sell for $100. It's not worth a dime. Then all of a sudden, water is worth more than gold. A gallon of water. A gallon of water is worth more than a gallon of crude oil, is what he's saying. So this was the prophetic. It was Flint, Michigan that we're talking about. But think about this with that, the contaminated water. But staying on topic, that the prophetic word was, this is what God said, somebody that's in the upper levels of the oil industry, as it has been in America, which is basically transporting a lot of oil that comes from other countries that we actually, you know, refine, that the whole industry was going down like a sinking ship. It was going down, and this is the prophecy. It was going down, and what he had in his hand was his paycheck.
That's all he had in his hand.
He had in his hand his paycheck, and it was like being on the Poseidon Adventure or the Titanic, and it was going down, and so he had two or three people behind him, and he was trying to lead them out of this destruction that's taken place. Well, you just saw the fulfillment of that word right there where you said this man, he says, it's all gone. My truck's gone. Everything's gone. That was the prophecy that God gave, said that's going to happen. Listen, we shouldn't celebrate when our brother loses their oxygen because we get oxygen at a lower rate.
Yeah.
As Christians, we should be thinking, like, is everybody okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going to happen to our economy? And why does oil cost less than water?
Mm-hmm.
This is not good. Why everybody celebrates. And notice what he said, too. He said that Saudi Arabia is concerned they're about to be surrounded by Iran, and they're going to end Russia, and they're going to take over the oil industry. Well, what's Kamal Saleem's book that he wrote in conjunction with General Bolkin?
The Coalition.
Yeah, the book Coalition. We'll make that reference to you. Maybe you see it on your screen. But they talk about, everybody's thinking they're coming after Israel, but they end this book. I'm not giving it away, Kamal. I'm sorry. This is important. They swing down and they take the oil is what they want.
It's all about the oil there.
It's all about the oil. And so you're looking at Russia positioning themselves. You're looking at Iran positioning themselves. But you're also looking at our president empowering Iran to be able to do this. And so the reason why you're looking at these, the oil industry crashing reportedly, I think it was CNN's Money.
Yeah, CNN Money reported that BP is expected to cut 7,000 jobs by 2017. And just 3 weeks ago, that number was 3,000. So in the last 3 weeks, it was 3,000. Mm-hmm. In the last 3 weeks, that number has increased by 4,000 people.
Right.
So if this downward spiral continues, it could be even more jobs.
And that's British Petroleum. Yeah. That's BP. And so you're looking at the European Union, things happening there. So this is a huge crisis. It's building. It's been happening. It's been happening. And people just keep saying this stuff like it's not
They're
really happening.
They're taking a huge loss. CNN Money did an infographic where they showed what these nations, what it costs them to produce oil. In Great Britain alone, it costs them around $50 a barrel to produce it. So when oil is selling at below $30 a barrel, they're taking a negative $20 loss on every barrel that's being produced, while Saudi Arabia is somewhere in the teens.
Now, in regards to Russia, what is Russia? Because they have a total oil economy. They make their money off the oil. If they go below this dollar figure.
Oh, it's supposed to be $100 a barrel.
So think about that. The reason why you're seeing Putin, you know, spark up and get involved with Syria and come down with Assad, he's got to get his oil prices have got to shift somehow.
Greg, 50% of Russia's budget, 50%, was based upon oil selling at $100 a barrel.
Wow.
50% of their budget.
So they're $75 off their immediate need. So
way
they
off.
Needs. So they're fighting. But the thing about this, and I know we're about to go to break, is that God prophesied about this. And I remember, you know, when you're living high on the hog, or you're living really well, and you got this great money coming in, and people say, yeah, the oil company says, you can move anywhere you want to. We'll buy your home. We'll pay you more money.
We'll pay you to move.
You've got so much money, we'll pay you to move. And you hear God talk about, your company's going down. It's going to sink. It's going to go down like the Titanic. And while you have that thing in your hand, that check, that you're going to be just trying to find your way out of this thing. And it's happening right now, even as we speak. Well, listen. One thing that you got to begin to focus on in 2016, and we have that offer for you. Take a look.
We're so excited about this offer we have available for our VFN TV partners. For your partnership for any amount whatsoever, we have this offer. We'll send to you DVD or online where you can watch it. It's called One Thing in 2016. Offer 2001 is learning the keys to success, prosperity, and peace no matter what or who may come your way. This is so important to be able to keep your peace and focus on the Lord, just like David did. When all these things were happening against King David, he was just doing his job, but an entire government was coming against him, led by Saul. Guess what he did? He focused on the one thing. This is an encouraging word. We have it for you for any gift whatsoever. Just go to VFNTV.com, upper right-hand corner, click on partnering, or you can actually call 844-408 3688 or write to VFNTV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida 32505. One thing in 2016. God bless.
I am Linda Mazur, and thank you so much for watching VFN TV. God bless you.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Every kind of media is literally at your children's fingertips. For Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Focus President Jim Daly talked about this matter and its repercussions with Gabe Lyons.
But we do have to teach as parents our kids how to consume things in a way that's not over the top.
Yeah, with our children, Jim, one of the things we just implemented in the new year was, you know, we have a 12-year-old, 10-year-old, and 7-year-old, two boys and a little girl. And we realized how much technology was starting to become, you know, our Band-Aid for if mom and I needed to talk, give them a phone. And realizing in this discussion about the shaping of the imagination of our kids, we have to realize what we're doing. We're damaging, in a lot of ways, their imagination. If we just put entertainment in front of them, it starts to cripple that imagination.
You'll hear more insights from Gabe Lyons about faith and culture today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
We want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our viewers. Don't forget, we're on the Gulf Coast every single day from Destin, the beautiful sandy beaches of Destin, Florida, all the way to the beautiful historical parts of Mississippi. And over 1.4 million footprint out there. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So we want to be able to be there with you each day, bringing some light to this interesting times. And we're getting some great feedback from you, and we so love to hear from you. Remember our Facebook, and you can communicate to us. We'd love to receive messages from you and letters, actually positive messages.
Yes.
Anything negative, just send it to Pat. He can handle that kind of stuff.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Stephen Furtick in North Carolina with Elevate Church. He has a spot here. I think it's just so encouraging because, you know, whatever brought him to this particular point, you can tell that it's like there's something that has to be dealt with. I mean, this probably never happened to you before. Where you get you get this great idea about building something in your house or fixing something, and then you find out you don't have the time or the resources to complete it or the talent to complete it, and so you have this half, like a bathroom project or something like that.
More like talent.
Talent, and so, you know, at some point you realize, we're going to have to finish this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the ministry, in the revelation, when you're walking with God, you know, you may have some great ideas. You think this is going to really work. But then you get this stopping point and you realize we haven't ever completed the full thing. We could think that this is going to lead us to a finished product. But after a while, when you're looking at no porcelain and the, you know what I'm talking about, that we got to finish this project. And I love it because he's talking about right here. He says, you got to finish the job and defeat the enemy. As a matter of fact, take a look.
Jesus doesn't just come so that we can escape. He comes so that we can eliminate every trace of the enemy and darkness from our lives. Too many believers are playing not to lose, yet note that David didn't just defeat the enemy, he destroyed him. Now, what could be said about David in this regard could be said 1,000 times more about Jesus. He didn't just defeat sin, he destroyed it. Jesus didn't just die to deliver us from death. He died so that we might reign in life. You see the parallels? He didn't just get sin out of the way so we could survive and go to heaven. He cut off the head of sin so that it would no longer have power in your life. So we no longer have to live these self-consumed, selfish, lust-driven, impulse-driven lives. Touch somebody next to you. Say, finish the job. Finish the job. Finish the job. I don't mean to get the spirit of Mortal Kombat, but finish him. That's the word God wanted somebody to get. You're saved. You love God. You're in church. You're doing pretty good. But let's finish the job. Let's cut off the head. Let's don't just survive the struggle. We've got the enemy on the run. Now let's take his sword. I'm so sorry for preaching this aggressive sermon, but let's take his sword and finish the job. I need to point this out to you. It says that David went into the battle without a sword, but he left the battle with one. Because he took what was coming against him and God used it to deliver him. Oh, this is the word of God for somebody's situation today. The very thing that was meant to destroy you will be the thing God uses to deliver you. He'll turn it around and it'll work in your favor. Shout somebody.
That's so powerful, you know, just finishing the job.
Getting it done.
Getting it done. But the thing about what's been really taught or not taught or the absence of truth in a lot of the church in America is that you don't have to deal with sin.
Right. I mean,
sin's been dealt with on the cross, so just enjoy your life as sin.
That's right. And grace.
And
you have
brand new believers going, I'm trying to figure this out. I don't feel right about sin. But they're not bringing up, they're telling me that I don't have to do anything with the sin because God did everything with that sin, so I'll just keep on sinning. And what Frederick's saying is, okay, he did deal with it, but to finish the work, as a matter of fact, Paul writes to the Church of Rome, he's saying, listen, we have an obligation to deal with it. We have an obligation before God to be able to deal with what Frederick is talking about right here. It's a letter written to the Church of Rome, Romans 8. But the only way you can't deal with it by saying, okay, I'm gonna write down 10 things I'm gonna do in my life that's gonna help me not sin. That actually will increase sin in your life. It'll actually fuel sin because the law is the power of sin. I mean, you're not gonna be able to force your way not to sin. I mean, you would have done that already. But God can empower you. And the way that he does it is that we totally rely on his finished work on the cross of Christ. It's a completed work. He says it is finished. He died for all sin, and he forgives us of that sin. But we don't just walk away from that reliance. We stay reliant on him forever and eternity. It's read Revelation chapter 4 and 5. I mean, we're shouting holy and glory to the Lord who deserves all the glory because he's the one that freed us from the power of sin. But then when we rely on his finished work on the cross, what happens is, and if we're doing that, then he sent his spirit here on earth now to begin to lead us out of sin, away from sin. I mean, he says it right here in his letter, Romans 8, chapter 8, he says, those who live according to the sin nature of their flesh have their mindset on what the flesh or what our bodies naturally want to do. So you can't sit here and play Mortal Kombat.
That's right.
You can't sit here and play Grand Theft Auto. You cannot murder people all day long. You can't watch pornography all day long on your television and your computer or your phone. And you can't be hateful and be involved in all that. Have that in your mind and think that you're ever going to walk out of sin. It's going to be, you're feeding into that thing. But he says the ones who are like that, they have their mindset. You got to change what you're thinking about. You got to change what you're thinking about, because if you're thinking about yourself, it ain't going to work. The more you think about yourself, it's like a black hole that just takes you deeper and deeper. You'll be surprised what happens when you start thinking about yourself. Oh, you know already. I think I heard somebody go, oh, Lord, I know it ain't. If you forget yourself, take yourself to the cross, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow the Lord and follow his spirit, you'll be really surprised. I'm shocked at what God has empowered me to do that I couldn't do in my own strength because I was following my spirit. And then he goes on, he says, but those who live in accordance with the spirit, in harmony is what that means, with the spirit, have their mindset on what the spirit desires. So it's not about preaching and teaching and certain kind of music. It's like, I got to change what I'm thinking if I want to change what I'm doing.
That's right.
And I got to think on the things of God. I got to ponder on the things of God. This is what Joshua says in Joshua 1. He says, I've done that and now my life is successful. You want a successful life? Follow the Spirit of God. Do what I'm talking about and realize you got to finish the work. It's going to, by the way, when you get to the throne of God and the judgment seat of Christ, no matter what anybody has told you, you are going to be held accountable for your life.
Hmm.
Not only your actions, but he says we're going to be held accountable for every word we said. That's why I'm like repenting all the time. I'm like, dear God, forgive Pat for what he said. It's just terrible. I mean, forgive me for what I said. You don't know what? And then he says that the mind governed or controlled by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit, which in other words saying, you know, spirit of God, lead me in the path of righteousness for the Lord's name's sake. You know, exhaling, you know, your sin going, God, forgive me. But inhaling saying, Holy Spirit, come take control of my life. Why? Because you can't do this in your own strength. You've got to finish the work. Like Frederick said, America's not going to turn if the church doesn't turn. America's not going to repent if the church in America doesn't repent. How do we do that? We finish the work. And then he says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile towards God.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at, it's like, If you just keep buying into the darkness and thinking there's no big deal and something happened way back when 2,000 years ago that keeps you being able to stay in darkness, guess what? That's a hostile, and look how hostile America is towards God. Look how hostile, quiet the church is towards the hostility.
Takeover.
Well, and the reason why is because the church is in sin.
Yeah.
The mind of the church is in things that are not of God, not the Spirit. So we can repent. That's what's so awesome about Jesus. And he says, not only is it hostile towards God, but it doesn't even want to submit to what God wants. So it's hostile and rebellious.
Mm.
So the world, American people, reflecting the American church. But you're not going to have authority and say something about something that you yourself don't yet have authority over.
That's right.
You know, sin makes cowards of believers, according to what Creflo Dollar said, in our own experiences, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, you pray. You pray. Anyway, so I'm dealing with a few things right here. And then he says this, in verse 9, he says, you, however... And I think this is what Furtick's talking about. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If he doesn't live in you, then you're not part of that. And he said, the Spirit gives us life. But then he goes on to verse 13. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, talking to the church, not to the world, we have an obligation.
Mm.
So we have an obligation to finish the work.
We
have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if we live according to it, to the flesh, we will die. He didn't say, you will no longer die because you said a prayer 20 years ago. It doesn't matter what sin you're in. That's a lie. He says it right here. He says, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature, to the flesh, to live according to living in harmony with darkness. For if we live according to the flesh, we will die.
Mm.
But if we live by the Spirit, in harmony with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, then we will actually put to death the misdeeds of the body. So all that stuff can only be dealt with, not by you making a few task lists how to deal with it. It's like, I'm totally dependent and rely upon you. I've got Jesus, lead me, your Spirit, just lead me. And what happens is, it's not that you don't sin, is that when you follow the Spirit of God, you sin less and less and less as he leads us out of sin. It's amazing what happens. And the Spirit of God empowers us. It gives us a grace to be able to remove sin from our life more than we ever thought could happen.
That's right.
But it's a progressive thing. He says very specifically about the battle that we wage, the war that we wage. There's a moment of complete obedience, but that comes at obviously the return mm-hmm. of our Lord and Savior. But he says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God, and that's what it is. It's, this is how we actually finish the work. You don't finish the work by getting a group and start talking about, I'm going to finish the work. You got to say, you know, God, I want your Spirit in my life. You know, I want to be led by your Spirit. He says, you know, a son of God. This is what he says. He says, those that are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We're not children of God if we're not following God. If we're following dark devils who are, Jesus said, you're listening to
who's
the Father,
dad?
All right. Who's your dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean just because we say he's our Father. He's our Father known by how we live our life and what we actually do. And you got to see this. I want you to see this before we go to break. You know, the Stand in the Gap, when we went there, and the Stand in the Gap was 1997, most powerful thing, according to Lingle, that's happened in the American church in the recent years is this one song that they sang, that we sang. There was millions of us out there, and we were repenting for our sin and the sin of the nation. And one thing we said is, Jesus, make a man out of me, a man of the Spirit. A man of his word, and the Spirit of God can change you. That's how you can finish the work. Take a look at this.
In 1997, Promise Keepers put 1 million men on the Mall to pray for America, an historic event in church history. And I begin to declare the hearts of the fathers are turning to the children, and there's coming a corresponding movement of the young people turning to the fathers.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Some time ago, I had a conversation with a Marxist economist from China. He was coming to the end of a Fulbright fellowship here in Boston. But I asked him if he had learned anything that was surprising or unexpected. And without any hesitation, he said, yeah. I had no idea how critical religion is to the functioning of democracy. The reason why democracy works, he said, is not because the government was designed to oversee what everybody does, but rather democracy works because most people, most of the time, voluntarily choose to obey the law. And in your past, most Americans attended a church or a synagogue every week, and they were taught there by people who they respected. My friend went on to say that Americans followed these rules because they had come to believe that they weren't just accountable to society, they were accountable to God. My Chinese friend heightened a vague but nagging concern I've harbored inside that as religion loses its influence over the lives of Americans, what will happen to our democracy? Where are the institutions that are going to teach the next generation of Americans that they too need to voluntarily choose to obey the laws? Because if you take away religion, you can't hire enough police.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis, you know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then Green Room. There's, you know, some interviews that we had that we ask other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the Green Room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says. When you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFNTV. What a powerful event.
Yes.
You know, Lou Engle was talking about that. And the thing is that, you know, at that time in the church, men were trying to, first of all, they started acknowledging men.
Yeah.
Which was a new thing at that time in the church that there's men. And that, you know, men began to talk about the seven promises, the promise keeper, the promise keepers. Yeah. Paul Dugard from Denmark. Said it that way. And Coach McCartney began to, you know, wrote this book, Seven Promises of the Promise Keepers. This is a history lesson for those today probably don't even know about that.
Yeah.
And there were seven distinct promises that John will read off to you in a moment. No, I'm messing with you. And that these men would get together in small groups, and that's where we begin to build small men's groups that would hold each other accountable to these promises.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, imagine now different churches began to have these small men's groups, and one church may have like 10 groups, for example.
Sure.
And then there was this a stand in the gap. God looks for a man, as the Word of God says in Ezekiel, to stand in the gap so they don't have to destroy the land. The interesting thing was, the concern was, President Bill Clinton was president then, and they felt like, the church felt like at that time, that if we don't repent, then God's going to take this nation down. And that's actually his wife, by the way, that people, younger people don't even know that. That's, her husband was president, and now his wife is running for president now. I guess, yeah, she's running for president. And so we were actually on, I mean, can you see this picture? Just take a look at this picture. This is the mall right there. Oh, now you're seeing the Capitol building up front right here, but you see there's an arrow up close up front up there.
I don't know who doctored all that.
Well, that's actually Pat and I, because we knew we needed to be there on our faces before the Lord. But now look, way back by the Washington Monument, there's an arrow pointing right down there. You see this guy with no hair right there, but arrow's pointing at? That's John. Back there. Now your hotel was like right next.
Yeah. But I allowed you to go ahead.
Go ahead. You didn't even see us.
And yes. I was actually with my small men's group. So we, you know, I had some people in my group. I wanted to stay with my group.
So y'all still were not spirit led. I mean, how did y'all not get to this? We
waited.
We were in the basement. We were in Jezebel's basement. Lord. In Maryland. No, I'm just joking. You know, I'm just joking. We love you. Anyway, so.
It's the
I'm surprised you already get
it's
past
the father's
that.
Heart.
No, so we had a great place to be able to stay there. And this man, a husband was there, and they gave us a place to stay. And it was in Maryland.
Yes.
And so Pat, you know, he was new in the Lord. He squeaked when he walked back then. He didn't have the gray hair. And he wasn't as thin as he is now. Pray for him. Send him some bread.
Wow.
Some fatty foods. Anyway, so we're sitting here with this guy at his coffee table, and his other part was upstairs, right? And he was concerned he didn't want to make any noise or upset this particular lady, wife, I guess. I guess this was his wife. And so we didn't understand that at the particular time. And so he's whispering to us. And he's just saying, I understand. It's the Father's heart. I'm telling you. If Pat was here, he would tell you.
Mm-hmm.
He's just whispering, it's the Father's heart. You know, I'm watching him. He's looking at me. I'm watching this man. He's looking at me. I'm like, oh, my goodness, you're right. It's God's heart, the Father's heart. Right? He's whispering because he don't want to wake up someone who thinks it's actually the mother's heart. Anyway, so, I was like, you're right. The anointing was just so strong, right? And so I look over at Pat because I knew that he was going to be taking notes for something important, right?
What was he doing?
Well, I looked around, and he was sitting there with a piece of pizza in his mouth.
He was eating pizza?
He was not even only eating pizza, but he was smacking with a piece of pizza. And he was holding it like this, just going, I'm like, dude, it's the Father's heart. He's like,
wow.
He cannot make it past 6 p.m. He gets really sleepy after 6 p.m. But that was early on before
But back to the Promise Keepers event.
Yes, the Promise Keepers.
You know, men came from all over the country.
More than a million.
Yeah, but all over the country, which is pretty amazing.
This is what was happening. There are so many things happen. We got to talk about fully in another program. But we were coming from Maryland. We stayed in Maryland. You stayed next door to the event. And you see where we are in that arrow and where it is.
Wow.
And
you guys are so humble about that. It's just... That's not, I like that.
It's
like
important,
that.
You know, if you don't remember history, you're doomed to repeat it.
I see.
But it was so powerful because all these men, and we looked around, we noticed some of the men, these are men from all over the country, and there's nothing more beautiful than a humble, godly man who's willing to bury his face in the dirt and say, God, I've sinned. And all of us were bowing our faces and just saying, God, forgive us of our sin.
Mm.
But this is the song that was sung. It just radiated throughout of Washington and the museums and all through the subways. Like, Jesus, make a man out of me. A man of the spirit.
Mm.
And that's what he's talking about in Romans 8. That's what Furtick was talking about. That it's you can't do this in your own strength. I don't care how much weight you lift. I don't care how much protein drink you drink. I don't care how many degrees you have to your name. The only way that you can be less and less sinful is to follow the Spirit of God. Sin is dealt with on the cross, but we're obligated, like Furtick said, to finish the work. And Jesus finishes that by us following his spirit. I want to pray with you right now. You know, maybe you want to make a decision for Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out, you know, our testimonies about meeting him. And you can meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. But maybe you want to get involved. Contact us and let us know. I want to pray for you right now. Get committed. Quit living with this thing that you want to get rid of. God has an empowerment for you to be able to get rid of that, to finish the work. If we want the nation to turn, you're going to have to turn. The church has got to turn. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for what Furtick is saying. We thank you for Coach McCartney and what happened in 1997. We thank you for Lou Engle and what's taking place even now. Lord God, we just pray that you would, we thank you for your finished work on the cross. We place our complete trust in your finished work, totally and completely, Lord. And we just say, lead us by your spirit. Jesus, make men of us, men and women, Lord, men of your spirit, women of your spirit, men of our word, God, we just pray. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, to end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. God bless and thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget, you can follow us online at VFNTV.com. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com, go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcasts.